Matthew chapter 24, Jesus has been teaching all day with the disciples at the temple. And so now they are leaving the Temple Mount. They're getting ready. They usually spend the night on the Mount of Olives when they're in Jerusalem. And so that's where they're headed. And they're going to camp out on the Mount of Olives. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus, this is, of all the things that Jesus taught, this is the longest and most intense passage that he taught on the end times. And so, well, boy, we're going to cover it all this morning. Oh, no. Well, we're just going to get one little sliver of it this morning. But I think it's something that's going to be really, really powerful. And I promise there's something in this passage for every person in this room. All right? Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Let's begin reading. All right? Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Remember, this temple is 5 stories high. It's one of the wonders of the ancient world, and it's covered in gold. It could be seen because Jerusalem sits on top of, we would call it just a big hill. They call it a mountain. But it could be seen forever as the sun would shine and hit that gold. It was just radiant. Verse 2 says this, and Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Can you imagine how that rock there were? What are you talking about? Are you kidding me? This is the temple of Almighty God. What do you mean it's going to be thrown down, torn down? I can't even fathom what you're talking about. Verse 3 says this, and now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Our statement this morning, our question, what everything is going to be built off of is, when will these things be? People have been asking that question forever. Jesus is seated now on the side of this mountain with the disciples. They're looking over there at the temple, and the disciples said, when will these things be, and what's going to be the sign of your coming? All right? Let's dig into that 100 miles an hour this morning, all right? Now, we read the first 3 verses in chapter 24. Starting in verse 4 and going through verse 31, Jesus is going to outline a series of events, and he's going to start with some that are nearby to them. It will be not long at all before these first events happen. And then he takes you all the way up to the second coming. He says there's going to be a lot of deceivers that are going to come in my name. A lot of people that are calling themselves the Christ, the Messiah, will come, and don't go looking for them. And then he goes into, there's going to be a lot of natural disasters that are going to happen before the second coming. There's going to be famines. There's going to be wars. There's going to be all these other things. And then he starts talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come. And the tribulation will take place. And he goes into some details on that as well. And then he starts talking about when Jesus comes back, when he himself makes his appearance at the second coming of Christ. And scripture says, in all power and all glory. Can you imagine? We're going to talk about that for just a little bit this morning. And so that takes you up through verse 31. And so there's a little bitty story after that. And then it talks about a very particular event that is going to take place. And our whole focus this morning is going to be about this specific event. It's an event called the rapture of the church. All right? So I'm going to ask you 1,000 questions this morning. Not really. A bunch is more like it. And so, you know, the outline won't be near as long as it looks like it will be. But I just want you to walk away from here with a passion, with the thought of the second coming, the thought of the rapture being much more imminent in your mind than maybe, I would never ask, let me just jump subjects for a minute. Don't raise your hand. I wonder how many of you thought this week, I wonder if today is going to be the day that Jesus comes back. We get so tied up in our lives, don't we? We get so involved with our work, or with the furlough, with our lack of work, what's going to happen to our money. What about our children? You know, we're so involved in their lives, their sports. You know, they've kind of become the tail that wags the family dog. We get so involved in life that very probably, almost assuredly, most people have made it through the whole week, and not one time have you thought about, could today be the day that Jesus comes back? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, all right? Well, now, here we go. Is the rapture going to happen? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. That is for certain. Now, there's a lot of details associated with the rapture, and some of them are clearly spelled out in Scripture. But there's a lot of details that aren't spelled out. And so, well, we just have to guess. Oh, no. You can't guess with God's Word. If it's not spelled out, then God didn't want us to know. All right? And so I'm going to be really honest with you, and I'm going to show you the things about the rapture as we study through this. Okay, this is for certain. We do know this. And you know what? We know this will happen, but we don't know the details. All right? There's two big areas that we're going to focus on with that we really don't know the details surrounding them. And I'll show those to you. But for the most part, we're going to spend our time on the things that we know are going to take place. All right? Okay. So, where in the Bible, show me. Pastor, show me now. Where, I'm looking up rapture in my concordance, and I'm not seeing it. So, what do you mean it's in the Bible? There's not a verse in my Scripture that says anything about the rapture. All right. Yes. All right. As those Greek and Aramaic scriptures, where they were written in by our New Testament writers, as they were translated into Greek and into Latin and into our other languages, that's where the term rapture came from. I want to read a verse to you. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive, we who, you always got to know who he's talking to. Who's we? Who wrote this? Oh my gosh, come on now. Who wrote it? Paul did. When Paul says we, who's he talking to? Believers, the church. So then we who are alive, believers who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This is that event known as the rapture. It's the catching away. Now, if you will look up here, you see the end of the first line, beginning of the second, caught up. That word, when it was translated into Latin, right? And I don't know how many old folks like me took Latin in school, right? It was so useful, isn't it? Yes. All right. The word in Latin for caught up is the word rapturo. Not with an E on the end of it, because it's a verb. It has an O. R-A-P-T-U-R-O. And that means to be caught up. Which is what the rapture, you're going to find out that's what it's all about. And so this concept took that Latin word, and that became the name of this particular event known as the rapture. When believers will be caught up in the air with the Lord. We'll dig into that just a little bit deeper in just a minute. So, when you talk about the second coming, and you talk about Jesus coming back, right? You've got to be careful or you'll get discombobulated because, well, let me ask it in the form of a question. Is there a difference in the rapture and in the second coming? Are y'all talking this morning? Come on. Is there a difference? Yes, radical difference. Radical difference. When Jesus comes back, the second coming, right? The skies, are, it says, will burst open. Every eye all over the world will see the power and the majesty and the glory of Almighty God coming on the clouds of heaven. And it says that He comes literally to this earth and He puts His foot on the Mount of Olives that we just showed you. When you go to Israel with us, did I tell you that we're going in May? Yeah, be looking for the advertisement. Don't get me started. When He comes back, He's going to stand right where our group is going to stand on that Mount of Olives. Scripture says the mountain will be broken in half, right, from north to south. Oh, so many things are described in that second coming. But He comes physically to this earth, to the Mount of Olives, and from the next 1,000 years, that's what's called His kingdom, you know, on earth. That's the millennium. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem for the next 1,000 years, and believers will get to rule and reign with Him. That is the literal second coming. But there is another coming of the Lord that is talked about in Scripture that's known as the rapture. He doesn't come all the way to the earth. He says that the dead in Christ are raised first, right? And I don't understand that. I can't explain it to you. When you get there, you ask Him about it. Because for believers that have passed away long ago, there's not much left of them, right? They have disintegrated. Or people that have been, you know, maybe they were killed in a fire and there's no body left. I don't understand all that, but the Bible says it. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we believers who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds. All right? Wow. That means that instantaneously, in the middle of whatever you're doing, wherever you are, right? What if He comes in the middle of the day and it's China time, which would be the middle of the night here? You know what? They'll go at noon and we'll go at midnight, right? But it's all going to happen. You may go in your sleep. We may not make it through this service this morning. And I mean, we're just gone. And it's that quick and that fast. But that's the difference in the rapture and the second coming. The rapture, nobody sees it. The second coming, the whole world sees it. Isn't that neat? Okay, so here we go. Let's get a little bit deeper in this thing. So when in this whole series of end time events, you've got the 7 years of tribulation, and then after that, you've got the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And in what ends the tribulation and begins the millennium is the literal bodily second coming of Christ. Are you with me there? Right? All right. 1,000 years where He rules and reigns. And then it says, here comes the new heaven and the new earth. And this is the heaven that we all hear about and dream about. All right? So here's the tribulation, and that hadn't started yet. And here we are over here. How close are we to that? I don't know. I can't tell you. Nobody knows. But you know what? The events that He describes that are going to take place in the tribulation, we are seeing the beginnings of those. We're seeing the foundation of those events take place now, which lets us think, nobody knows, but it kind of lets you know, boy, if we're already seeing the beginnings of this, We can't be that far away. And I believe that. I believe we are close to the very end times. Now, here's one of these things. I told you I'd be honest with you. Well, where in all of this spectrum of time does the rapture take place? Nobody knows. It's not spelled out. And so because it's not spelled out, you have nothing to plant your feet and stand on. There are several different options, beliefs, theories, or whatever. You can have a theory that you like better than the others, right? There's a theory that I kind of hope is true, but I can't look at you this morning and say, this is what God says, but neither can anybody else, right? And each of these, there's three main positions. There's a position that says that the rapture is going to happen at some point. It doesn't start the tribulation, but at some point before the tribulation, whether it's a month or 6 months or 10 years, but there's a pre-tribulation, before the tribulation, rapture theory out there. And there are verses to support it, and there's weaknesses in that theory. There's one theory that says he comes right in the middle of the tribulation. And everybody's got their verses, and everybody's got their weaknesses. And then there's another theory out there that says he's not going to come until the tribulation is over, and the kingdom comes right before the Lord comes back, and that's called post-tribulation, pre, mid, and post, okay? And so nobody knows, and there are people, well, I believe in this. Okay. You think God's going to ask you for your advice before he comes back to get us? Now, I know there's a lot of people that don't agree, but because you think this is when I ought to come, then that's what I'm going to do. Is that how it's going to happen? No, we don't know. We don't know. And so, let me just walk you through this. Let's start with down here first. Post-tribulation. You know what? Here's a verse that they will use to say, see there, I told you so. Look at John 16:33. John 16:33, and you better listen real fast. We're already in trouble. All right? These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. See there, I told you, the Bible says that believers are going to have the tribulation. That we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Tribulation there is not referring to the tribulation, but tribulation in the sense of hardships, hard times, right? Have you ever gone through any hard times since you've been a believer? Absolutely, right? Personal hard times, marriage hard times, family hard times, job hard times, kids hard times. Yes, we all have tribulation. We just don't use that word. But that's what it's talking about. It's not saying that you as a believer are going to have to go through the whole tribulation and then I'm going to come back and get you. Doesn't mean that at all. What about the people that say, well, I believe that he's going to come in the middle of the tribulation. I believe that, you know what, the church is going to have to go through some really suffering times, and then we will be taken away before the really, really bad, bad, really bad times of the tribulation come. Well, you know what? This is believed by the least number of people of all three options here. All right? And so here's the deal. Why would the church need to go through any of the tribulation? What is the tribulation? Tribulation is a time of what? Judgment. On who? Believers? We're getting judged on the church? Now, man, oh man. Well, we don't have any Chatty Cathys in here today at all. Listen, I need you to think through this. Who's getting judged in the tribulation? Israel, because they rejected the Messiah. Why would the church need to be judged any at all in the tribulation? Where were our sins judged? On the cross. Absolutely. We have been made righteous at the cross. That's where our forgiveness was taken care of, was offered to us, was on the cross. Oh, listen. And you know what? If we believe that the rapture could happen at any minute, the whole mid-tribulation viewpoint takes the imminence of the rapture completely away, right? Because it says nobody knows the time. Well, now if it happens in the middle and we know what starts it and we know what ends it, we can pretty much kind of guesstimate about where the midpoint is, right? And so, there's so much more we could talk about in all of this, but I just don't have the time. We'll do another study. What about the people that say, you know what, it's way over here. It's some point before the tribulation. 10 years? Do you think we're 20 years from the end of time? You think we're 2 years? You know what? There's no time period given between this and the tribulation. That's why, prophetically, everything in Scripture that has to happen before the rapture has already taken place. I mean, it could happen literally at any moment. Yeah. All right, well, why do you think that? Well, I already told you, there's no need in us going through the tribulation, because it's Israel being judged and not the church. And it talks about, listen to the whole thing before you jump on this, because a lot of people use this as an attack on people that believe in pre-trib. You know, when you read Revelation, you get up through chapter 3, and the church is mentioned 19 different times. But then, beginning with chapter 4, until the second coming of Christ, the church is not mentioned as being on this earth, right? It's just omitted. But in chapter 19, in the middle of the tribulation with all its goings on, there is a point in chapter 19 where the church is referenced as to already being in heaven. All right? Well, how did they get there? Well, the rapture, my dear friends, has happened, and the church is not here through the tribulation. We just got to keep going. Y'all quit asking questions. All right? Does the rapture start the tribulation? Absolutely not. When the peace treaty is signed between the Antichrist and Israel, that's what starts the tribulation. Well, isn't Trump the Antichrist? No, regardless of your political persuasion, he is not the Antichrist. It doesn't really look like there's a whole lot of peace going on over there right now anyway, right? So let's just keep going. Here's the other thing that it's not spelled out. And this is the most asked question when anybody teaches on the rapture. This is number one question, because it's what's on our heart more than anything. What happens to children? Huh? Yeah. Listen, I want to know what's going to happen to little Junior or little Missy. What happens? Well, you know what? It's not spelled out. But here's what you've got to do. Do you really trust God? You say you trusted Him with your salvation, did you? Okay, do you trust Him with your life? Do you trust Him that He's got your best interest in mind? Absolutely. And do you trust Him that He is going to do what's right, what's best, and what's righteous? Yes. Absolutely yes. Okay, look what Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. And Jesus said, "Let the old people come to me." Let who? Little children come to me and do not forbid them. Don't keep them away from me. Man, I love them with all my heart. I want them to sit in my lap. I want it. And for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like little children to the Lord. You think you love your kids just more than anybody else in the world, any other parent in the world? Can I tell you that our love for our children doesn't even compare to how much Jesus loves our kids and our grandkids? And you know what? If He loves them that much, can you not trust that He's going to do what's right? Can you? I can totally. All right, but now listen, this gets a lot bigger than what you think it is. All right, well, are you talking about He's going to take care of just the children of believers? What if here's a lost mom and a lost dad and they've got children? So now are you differentiating between the children of believers and non-believers? You know what? I don't think Jesus said that. He just said the children. Let the children come to me. Were these the children of believers that He was specifically referring to here? You know, we're not told, but I can almost promise you, every parent, when He spoke this, wasn't a believer. All right? Think about this. What about pregnant moms? And this is like, this is the North Alabama Church for Pregnant Women. And we've got 11 in one of our life groups that are all pregos, right? I mean, but what about those girls in there? If mom is saved, doesn't surely the baby goes with her, right? Well, sure. What about a lost mom that's pregnant? See, there's a lot of things you hadn't thought about. What about a lost mom that's expecting? Rapture happens, does that baby stay with a lost mom and get an opportunity to be born and to give their life to Christ? Is that baby taken from the lost mom? Oh, listen, folks, everything is not spelled out. And then some people will say, oh, listen, but I believe in that age accountability stuff. There's no such thing as the age of accountability as such, right? But that term applies to death and not the second coming, not the rapture, okay? And so here's the deal. We just don't know. But I know my God, and I know He loves children, and I'm trusting Him to do what's best and what's right by these little children. And you just have to trust Him, right? You just have to put your faith and trust in what He's going to do. All right, here we go. Does the rapture involve everybody in one way or another? Yes. Specifically, as far as being taken? No. Look what Scripture says in Matthew chapter 24. This is what He was talking to the disciples about on the Mount of Olives. Two men will be in the field. Only one's going to be taken, and the other one's going to be left. And then there's two women that'll be grinding at the mill. I'm only coming for one of them, and the other one is going to be left. Well, what's the criteria? What is that based on? Good person, bad person? Old person, young person? You know, what is it that is the dividing line between who is taken and who is left? It's just one quality, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? A surrender of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you invite Christ to come into your life, when He comes to live in your heart and changes your life, radical life change. And that life change is evidenced in a desire, a hunger to be with Him, to know Him, to love Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him. That life change is what it's all based on. It's not based on who's in church and who's not. Let me be honest with you. If the rapture happened right this minute, and everybody, not that says they're a believer, but that has truly surrendered their life to the Lord, is taken away, what would the rest of the people in here do? Well, look around. Y'all want to do paper, rock, and scissors and see who finishes the message this morning? Anybody want to lead singing? Because life's going to go on. Because of this very thing, it's the word believe that causes a lot of confusion in the world and in the church. Guys, in the church, right? There's two words that are translated believe that mean radically different things. There's one word that means believe in English here, but it's totally talking about mental. It's about what I know, the facts I know, the stories I know about God, the songs that we sing, right? There's another word that's translated believe, and it more refers to I've given my life. I've surrendered my life. I mean, God has radically changed my life. And that's confusing to the church. Because there's a lot of people using one word, believe, and they use it interchangeably, and they're really not sure what they mean. Look at this verse in James. In James chapter 2, verse 19, he says, James is written to believers, right? You believe that there's one God? Well, you do well. Even the demons do what? Believe. Believe with their heart. Oh no, they believe with their mind. They were in heaven worshiping Almighty God, worshiping Jesus on the throne of heaven when Lucifer led the rebellion. They know who Jesus is. They know He's Almighty God. They know all about Jesus. And they, what's that called? They what? They believe. But they didn't believe to the point where they would surrender. And that's confusing in the church because there's people all in this audience this morning that say, oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Yeah, I'm good. I believe. There's no hunger for the Word of God. There's been no life change. There's been no area of service. There's really no genuine worship. You're hanging on to a word that means you mentally know about Jesus for your salvation, and that is going to cost you. Even the demons do that. Have you given Him your life? Has He radically changed your life? Has He set your heart on fire to live for Him and worship Him? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. All right? Real quick. Will the rapture, will we know right before it happens? I mean, what are you thinking? Is there a certain song that's going to play? And then when it gets to the chorus, zing, we're gone. Like, is there some kind of warning signal? The answer to that is no. Nobody knows. That's what Scripture says. Probably Spencer back there. We might not do all these verses because we're running late. Matthew 24, 44. Therefore, you also be ready. You who? The believers. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Just verse 36. Of chapter 24, Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour, who knows? No one. No one knows. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Oh, listen. If you knew the thief was coming, man, you'd have your gun loaded and you'd blow him out, right? But you don't know when the thief is coming. We have no clue. when the rapture will take place. 1 Thessalonians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They timed that years ago, and they were so excited when they finally had the technology 20 years ago that they timed how fast the eye twitches. 1/10,000th of a second that you will never even notice. You will never even see it. People that are standing there talking to us when the rapture happens, it's like, well, we just disappear. We just disappear. Some people say, well, our clothes will just be piled up down there on the floor. Let me tell you something. I got no desire to go to heaven naked. I'm just telling you, all right? I'm holding on as quick as I can, all right? I don't know. But I know that it's going to happen that quick. Because you know what? If you knew before it would happen, you'd live like you wanted to up until that time, wouldn't you? There's really no need in getting involved. I can be a spectator. There's no, Bart, I don't need one of your life groups. You know what? I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to have fun. But boy, oh boy. If I know before it happens, I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! You know what? God's not playing a game with us. He's not playing any kind of a game at all. You know what I literally thought when I was a teenager? I thought this. I thought, you know what? I'm going to live my life and have my fun and do what I want to do. But if this thing really happens like they say it's going to, as soon as it happens, then I'm going to get serious about God. Really? You think it can happen that way? Let's just ask that question. What if I don't go in the rapture? What if it happens and I'm left behind? What happens then? Listen to me. It's too late. It's all over for you. It is too late. Well, if it happens, then I'm gonna ask Jesus into my heart. No, you won't. You won't want to. Number one, if it happens so instantaneously, think of the chaos that's gonna happen in this world. Think about the number of cars that are being driven by believers that all of a sudden there's no driver. And cars are crashing everywhere. Think about the airplanes that are going down because you've got believers that are their pilots. That's why when you need to get on a plane, you need to say, you're lost, aren't you? Just checking, right? But just think about the mass chaos that's going to go on. But on top of that, think about this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, most important of what we're going to talk about, it says this. The coming of the lawless one. Who's the lawless one? Is that the rapture? No. Is that the second coming? No. Who's the lawless one in Scripture? The Antichrist. All right? So the coming of the Antichrist is in accordance with the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why are they perishing? Spells it out. Listen, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They didn't receive Christ when they could have. They didn't surrender their life when they had the opportunity. And so now, you know what? It's too late. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not come to the truth. The truth of what? That I am a sinner. I was born a sinner. The truth that I'm separated from God. the truth that Jesus loved me so much, He went to the cross and died for me and made forgiveness available. I didn't want that. Well, I don't need that. You know, I go to church, that's enough. You know, I just don't want that right now. They believed the lie. What will the lie be? You know what? The lie that's... Can you imagine the lies that are going to be out there when the rapture happens? I can tell you the story that'll be on every news station. You know what they'll blame it on? Aliens. Darn aliens. Is that flying saucer. Just sucked up all these people. It won't say that it was the rapture. It won't say that they were all believers. Oh, no. You know, but if that is what it is, what a mean, hateful God that He would kill all these other people. The people in that plane, they were innocent people. The people on the road, they were innocent. The people in surgery, when that doctor was zapped away and they died on the table, that's not a loving, holy God. And you know what? Those of you that are left, and I promise you, I'm talking to some people right here today that are going to be left. You know what you're going to say? Shoot. God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't have taken my spouse. God, if you really cared, I wouldn't be in this spot right now. God, what a liar you are. And you're going to believe the lie. You're not going to want to get saved. You'll be cussing God like everybody else. Isn't that amazing? I don't need God. I'm just a spectator. Isn't that good enough? Oh, no. No, I just want to come. I just want to watch. I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to be an attender. Okay. But when they ask you if you're in church and the rapture happens, who wants to lead in prayer? You raise your hand. Because all the believers will be gone. And I honestly, listen to me with all your heart, if you have never surrendered your life to Christ, and the proof is not there in your life because He's radically changed you, and the proof that your heart is on fire, and the proof that you are so hungry for God's Word to serve Him and to grow, if that's not there, if I were you, I don't know how I could walk out of these doors before I gave my life to Christ. I don't understand it. I don't. Am I trying to scare you? The believers have no reason to be scared. Well, what about those spectators you were talking about? I hope it scares the pants off of you, because up until this time, nothing else has made any kind of impression. Why? What is it you're waiting on? You can't afford to wait, because it could happen any minute, and then it'll be too late. What if it happened right now? Would you go? Is there the proof? Would you go? Do you know that you know that you know that you'd go? Would you? Well, if you don't know that, you need to talk with somebody this morning. You need to give your life to Christ this morning. Man, you hear me tell you every week, pass your phone over, go to that Connect card, put on there, you know what, I've got to talk to somebody. I just need some questions answered. I want to give my life to Christ. That you can mark that on there. Maybe some of you are believers, but things aren't right in your life. Maybe it's not because you're doing bad things. Maybe it's because you're not doing the good things that God wants you to do. But there's some things that you know He's not pleased with. Can I tell you, the urgency is just as much there for you to get your life right with Christ this morning as it is for people who need to give their life to Christ. What's He asking and telling you to do? You know. Question is, what are you going to do about it? Father, how we love you. And God, the reality of the rapture is so real, so huge. Father, I pray that it does scare people into making decisions. Father, I pray that it does open believers' eyes where they need to get things right. Father, I pray that the people who have never surrendered their lives to you will do that right now. That they would say, God, I need you. God, I've gone through the motion all this time, all these years. God, I've been playing games. God, I'm ready to get serious about living for you. I pray that's the cry of their heart this morning. And that they would say, Jesus, save me right now. In Jesus' name, amen.